America, sweet America.
This is Lisa Wexler. Welcome to Lunch with Lisa. You're listening to Fairfield County's News Talk, 1400 WSTC, 1350 WNLK. And sitting with me in the studio today is Matthew Mandel. Matthew Mandel has really made a name for himself in our area of Westport, and I think he's had an impact on Norwalk as well, for his advocacy of what he calls smart growth, a movement in land use. He is a trustee of Earth Place and formed the Neighborhood Groups Gathering to bring all of Westport's community groups under one umbrella. And he is also the director of the Partrick Wetlands Preservation Fund. Welcome, Matthew. I'm so happy that you're with us today.
Thanks for inviting me.
Sure. First, could you define for me what you mean by the term smart growth?
Smart growth essentially is trying to have development where infrastructure already exists and conversely away from where it doesn't and where it might affect environmentally sensitive areas.
So would you consider, for example, the redevelopment of neglected urban areas to be a primary focus of smart growth?
Absolutely. Some of the things that are going on in Norwalk are exactly smart growth. Taking areas that have been left fallow and redesigning them so they can be used mixed use for residences and also retail.
The number to call to join in our discussion is 845-3044. Matthew, you've been on the cutting edge, on the hot seat, as it were, in a number of local controversial proposed developments. Could you give us a little history of what got you involved with this, with these kinds of issues?
Well, the Partrick Wetlands was the thing that got me going. A developer wanted to come into an environmentally sensitive area and build 31 houses over an aquifer in a wetland area, and the houses were crammed right up against the wetlands. And the community rose up, which is what really made it work. And in the end, we convinced the developer that less houses should be there, and it'll be 13 houses instead of 31. But most importantly, 22 acres of that land will be donated to the community. Not to the town, but to the community itself, to the Partrick Wetlands Preservation Fund. And we're going to put a conservation easement on it and make it open space for eternity.
So you've reserved space for the wildlife that has always lived there.
Yep, the wildlife there, the aquifer, which is below it, so our water is protected. And this should serve as a model going forward to other communities and other developers that we can all work together and have, you know, proper development and also saving the environment at the same time.
Well, now, coincidentally, the Partrick Wetlands happens to be almost literally across the street from another proposed development in the area, which is the proposal to move the Y from downtown Westport and relocate it on what has been a summer camp, Camp Mahakono, in that same area of Westport, very close to exit 41 on the Merritt Parkway. Have you taken a formal position with respect to this?
I believe that the YMCA should stay downtown. Smart growth practices say that you should keep your core facilities down there. And the idea of moving this core facility where people go to every day up to a rural and residential area is essentially the poster child for sprawl. And it is not smart growth.
So why do you think the Y wants to do it?
Well, the Y feels that they have no other options. And they've taken a burn-your-bridges attitude by selling their downtown facility and saying, well, we're going here and we don't want to look at any other options. And I think that's a mistake. I think that they should step forward to the town, work with people who are interested in keeping them downtown, and see if we can make that work.
Well, I don't want to be disingenuous about this issue because I live in Westport, and I was on the Planning and Zoning Commission as well as the Zoning Board of Appeals for a long time. So I don't want to mislead my listeners into thinking that I don't have a position on this, because anybody who knows me knows I'm very opinionated about a lot of different land use issues. And in fact, I agree with you, Matthew. I'm not a neighbor. I don't have a vested property interest per se. I'm not a bordering neighbor of where the Y wants to move. But I agree with you that it's a wrong move for the environment. I'm wondering how you organize. What have been your methods, your strategies to organize a community where you feel that there has to be some concerted, organized effort against a development?
The way we did it with Partrick and the timing of it was interesting. The internet really has a great power behind it in terms of being able to communicate, being able to educate people. If there's an issue that's out there, You get it out through letters to the editor. You get it out there in other ways and going to meetings. And then once you start to have a core group of people who see it your way, then you go out and you send more emails out, and then you send out flyers. And then once you get that going, then you have a website together. You begin to email people, and the whole group becomes very nimble, because if something changes quickly, emails can go out, and you can get them to attend hearings quickly or respond by sending letters to the government officials who need to hear what people have to say.
Is money a factor?
Money is a factor, but less so than actually being there and doing it. A lot can be done by the individual residents. The Partrick example was it was mostly shouldered by people putting in their sweat and effort to make it happen. And that's what's happening in other areas. I mean, the Norden property in Norwalk is another example where not a lot of money was spent by the different community groups in saying that was, you know, fine development. It's a great place to redevelop, but not with so many units and not the entire property. Save some. And that was turned down by the Norwalk Planning and Commissions and Conservation Commissions.
What about the Pepperidge Farm redevelopment? Have you been involved with that?
I had heard about it. I had talked to some people, but it was too far along for any of us to really get a handle on at that time. Sometimes that's the way it is. Development sometimes, you know, move quickly, and unless you get in there fast enough, they get beyond you.
Because the Pepperidge Farm development, had it been in Westport, which is literally almost next door, I think would have had vastly fewer units than the one that's being proposed right now.
There's a difference between Norwalk and Westport in how they develop their communities. But one of the things that we found with dealing with the Partrick situation was the Save Cranberry Association, which is on the Norwalk side. We worked together with them because the impact of Partrick would affect them, and we're finding, you know, regionalization is the way to start working with this, because sprawl and overdevelopment don't follow town borders. The impacts, you know, cross back and forth.
And, you know, there's a very interesting political discussion to be had, because I believe in decentralized local land use boards having the best specific knowledge of their towns and their towns' values in terms of developing. And I wouldn't want to see the state impose that on local communities. However, I just became aware that Bridgeport just allowed a 50-story building to be zoned for its downtown in response to pressure from a developer from Miami who has said that he'll do great things for Bridgeport. And Bridgeport, of course, needs great things to happen to it. We all know that.
Right.
But the response of allowing one builder to build a 50-story building with its potential impact on a vista for all the surrounding communities, in my opinion, there ought to have been some regionalization or some thought about the impact of that particular zoning change on surrounding neighborhoods. Do you agree with that?
I think that to some extent, the communities need to work with each other. And you know, we do have the Southwestern Regional Planning Agency in Fairfield County, and they are consulted. I'm not sure how much power they have to change things and to they recommend here, and whether or not the boards and commissions of the different towns adhere to it. But that's essentially the regional area to talk about that. I think there's also one, the Greater Bridgeport Grupa, I think it's called, the Greater Bridgeport Area, and I think Westport is part of that, so we sort of work in both. In terms of that 50-story building, sounds pretty big to me.
Sounds stunning.
Yeah.
Stanford turned it down. They actually, I think they decided, and I could be incorrect on this, somewhere in the vicinity of 28 to 30 stories, which is still very large, but it's not 50 stories.
Right.
So I was very stunned to hear this news. I was stunned that there wasn't more public dissemination of this, because if it does go through, and of course sometimes you can pass a zoning change and the developer ultimately backs out and there it is, but there is in fact no building. But in Bridgeport's need, I think that they were hasty in this particular case. I'm curious, do you have a position with respect to the balance, as it were, between increased density and affordable housing?
Do I have an opinion? When don't I have an opinion?
Okay, that's good.
But when it comes to affordable housing, that's a very tricky subject. We must create affordable housing for our communities. What's occurring is there's a state regulation called 830-G, which says that if particular communities don't have 10% affordable, and by affordable, it's deed restricted based on the mean income of the area, developers can come in and put in whatever they want. And so you have a situation in Westport on Gorham Avenue where a developer bought an acre and a half of land and wants to put in 20 units, where normally about three or four would be allowed as of right. And that's a problem. We should be able to define our own affordable housing in the densities that we think are reasonable and not allow developers to come in and do it themselves.
I think we're talking with Matthew Mandel. The number to call to participate in our discussion is 845-3044. I think with respect to affordable housing, what the state has done is they've shifted the burden of proof.
Absolutely. The hearing process is awful. I mean, what was happening in Westport was the developer lawyer came in and said, well, I don't have to prove this. You have to tell me how this is not going to cause a public health or safety issue. Other than that, here's our proposal, and if you don't like it, then I'm going to appeal it. And it's a very difficult appeal process to defend by the towns. And what we need to do is talk to Hartford and say, look, Westport can never get to 10%. And we're actively trying to do affordable housing. We have the General Business District Saugatuck, which is a Saugatuck Center. We've created inclusionary zoning. What that is that whenever there's going to be some multiple family housing, that a certain percentage is affordable. So that we're saying, yes, we want a multifamily here, and you, the developer, pony up a little bit. 20% should be affordable, and that will move us along.
Matthew, isn't the real problem, or one of them, that in fact we may have quote-unquote affordable housing units in the form of what we used to call in-law setups, but that there's no practical way of legalizing them and counting them on our roster?
Well, legalizing them is difficult. What there are is some estimate of 700-some-odd units in Westport. Some are legal, some are not. But for them to be counted as affordable housing for the state, they have to be legally deed-restricted. The question is, are these people going to put in 40 years of legal deed restriction on their mother-in-law apartment?
Well, and that's why I think that the statute is unreasonable on its face, because if there were an alternate solution to, for example, register these while they were being used as such and have the registration of affordable housing be a fluid thing instead of 40-year deed restriction, I don't know who came up with that. To me, that's on its face unreasonable. And this way you have a fluidity in your housing stock like you always do, and then people could register when they wanted to use it as that and then take it off the rolls when, in fact, they wanted to change, like so many uses. I think you're right. I think that this statute probably ought to be amended up in Hartford.
Absolutely. And that's why we need to talk to our senators and state reps and get them all together and get a bipartisan group, not just Republicans, not just Democrats, but together going up there and saying, we have a problem here and we need to address it.
Do you enjoy being an advocate for this kind of thing? Have you found sort of a passion?
Absolutely. I think maybe I was built for this.
Are you originally a Westport resident? Are you from this area?
No, I'm originally from New York City, and I married into a family that's been in Westport for years, and essentially I've been coming up here since the late 1980s and recently moved here full-time, and I love it. I think Westport in this area is wonderful, and we need to preserve it.
Well, Westport did win the Democracy Cup, you know.
Yes, we did, and I voted.
I voted, too. But we do like our community participation. Let me ask you, in terms of smart growth, what organizations are out there if people want to participate as an effective advocate for this kind of land use?
Well, on a global level, there is the Connecticut Thousand Friends.
What's that?
That's an organization that was set up based on other organizations in the state. The Thousand Friends is a movement, and Connecticut recently formed theirs middle of last year. And I'm following what they're doing. They have a website at, I think it's ct1000friends.org. There's also, you can go to smartgrowth.org, smartgrowthamerica.org, and you can find out about the different organizations that are advocating smart growth. On a local level, there aren't really that many doing it. I wouldn't say that Patrick Wetland's group is formally doing it, but we're doing it informally.
Okay, thank you for that. I never heard of Connecticut Thousand Friends, and this is not something where you pay a fee. This is something where you just join and you...
Well, you can membership. Every organization like that needs some money, but there's a membership fee, but not large.
So these are not, for example, like Sierra Club or Conservation. This is a little bit different.
Right, exactly. Okay. They're advocating smart growth and looking to do that.
Well, thank you very much. And with respect to you and how to find you, how would our listeners want to find you if they wanted to give an opinion about something local of interest to them?
Well, you can always go to our website, which is savewestport.com. And you can read up on travails with the Partridge Wetlands and other issues. And you can always email me at matthew@savewestport.com.
Thank you very much, Matthew Mandel, for being with us today. This is Lisa Wexler.